Okay.
Wait, so what?
So what happened? We can introduce the show.
I mean, it is.
Okay. You're listening to the Go-Got Experience. Honestly, if you don't know that, what's wrong with you? You know, this is the show.
Low-key, we have like a group of like such devoted listeners that I think are just like our little group of, you know, the movie Secret of Nim. We don't have to talk about Secret of Nim, actually. That movie is scary.
What happens in that movie?
Basically, the premise of the film is, what if...
It's like, who's in it? Steve Irwin's daughter?
Do you think her name's Nim? Isn't it?
Isn't she in it?
Her name's Binder, because she's a she/her NB, and she wears a binder all the time. No, she's not in Secret of Nim.
Oh well, I haven't seen the movie. I don't know. I'm going off one.
It's an animated classic.
Oh, it's animated. Oh, okay. Never mind. What am I thinking of?
Mimsy? Isn't there a movie named Mimsy? That maybe she's.
I don't know.
Okay, I mean, she could do whatever she wants.
So what about Secrets of Nim? What's her name?
Bindi.
Oh, yeah.
Her name is Bindi.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
She's hardcore Christian. I wonder if Steve
Irwin... Is she really? Yes,
I wonder if Steve Irwin...
Wait, that's so cool.
...was hardcore Christian, too, or if, like, her dad's death pushed her into that. Like, I wonder if, like, if Steve Irwin, like, was revived somehow, or, like, met her in heaven or something, and she was like, oh, by the grace of God, you're here. If she would be like, so God, I was like really into animals, but your whole thing is like Jesus. Like,
wait, so was she in any movies?
She might not have been in any movies, April. I don't think that's what she's known for.
Wait, you're not going to believe this. What? You're not going to believe this. In 2013, she was in a movie called Return to Nim's Island.
Wow. I mean, I guess, yep. Yeah, you probably went to see that because you were 4 years old.
That's fucking right. I know everything. Wow. It is it's a sequel to 2008. Film Nim's Island
that had The Rock in it, right?
No, it did not.
Who did it have in it?
It starred Abigail Breslin, Jodie Foster, and Gerard Butler.
Oh, I knew Abigail Breslin was in it. So is Bindi Irwin?
Wait, is
now...
is there any relation?
No.
Oh.
No.
There's no relation between Nim's Island and Secrets of Nim?
No, and it's spelled differently, too.
Oh.
Okay. Secrets of Nim is about magic and anthropomorphic little creatures and a mother saving her family. A mother mouse, like a little mouse with a bunch of kids.
Okay. Interesting.
It's about how welfare queens sometimes gotta work.
Wait, so can you tell me what the funny thing is you're gonna tell me?
Oh.
What does it have to do with Secrets of Nim?
It doesn't actually have anything to do with Secrets of Nim. But what happened was, and I want to say something quick, and I say this with love, I say this with compassion and joy, I say this with understanding and acceptance.
And right before saying the meanest thing she's ever said.
No!
And average woman right before saying the meanest thing in the world.
And I say this with my only intent being for greater communication. If you see me on a dating app and you simply match with me because you want to be like, oh, I matched with Grace, or, oh, I'm a fan, but you don't want to, like, you aren't interested in, like, what we're there for, or, like, what people generally are on dating apps for, that I don't like. Like, don't do that. Like, it's, if you want to, like, say hi to me, like, as a fan, you can do that you can come to a show and do it after or something, you know, you can say hello. But if you see me on a dating app and you match with me simply to like express that you're a fan, that is, I don't like that. And I think it's like, you know, I think that anybody who has any degree of whatever, like, has experience, like, or like the, or if the, it's the novelty or the story of like going on a date with someone that who's comedy you like, or you can be like, oh, I want, you know, that I don't like, don't do that. So, and it's not the end of the world, but
I'm gonna kind of play devil's advocate here. I think, isn't that just how it goes?
What do you mean that's just how it goes?
I don't know. A lot of people know you, so it's gonna happen.
But for the not, for like just to be like, oh hey,
not to be like, that's why they invented like celebrity only dating apps, but like that's the curse, you know.
But wait, no, I disagree. I'm not like. I mean, I know
you're not like an A-lister.
I'm a Hunter Schaefer.
I know that, but it's the same like mechanism. Not, like you're being recognized for your work. I don't know.
I'm not Kermit the Frog or Miss Piggy.
I'm
not Gonzo. Matched,
if I came across Kermit the Frog or Miss Piggy on a dating app, I probably would go on a date with them, even though I don't really swing that way toward puppets. That is. Just for the sake of sin. I don't know. I don't think that's a sin.
Well, I guess what I'm
saying, I think that's
you're
natural.
You're talking about this stuff in the abstract, and I'm saying me as a person, I do not like it.
You're saying that if you came across a celebrity on a dating app who you weren't attracted to.
But
let's say you come across Bindi Irwin on a dating app.
Okay. Yeah, she's an adult. That would be reasonable for that to happen.
Yeah, that's what. Yep, exactly. And she's closeted lesbian.
Yeah.
So let's say you come across.
I'm telling you,
you would not swipe right.
No, I'm telling you that I've had this experience where I've experienced that and I don't like it.
Right. Right. I'm just saying. I don't think it's a sin.
I'm not even saying it's. I'm saying, like in the abstract, I agree with you. Like that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that like, but I'm not talking in the abstract, April. I'm talking about
sure.
like my personal feelings and experience,
right?
Which you can't like really disagree with. Like you can.
No, I'm saying it's true that you don't. Okay, yeah, it's true that you don't like it, but I'm saying that's also kind of cool.
It's cool?
I would love if people only matched with me on a dating app because I was famous.
It's not, though. Like, I'm saying, like, in effect, you wouldn't find it cool. In effect, you would also question, like,
but
relationships
I think
that's that you're
also
in,
the...
if that's, like... And I've now had relationships where, like, so. After someone's dated me, they've dated like essentially a more famous version of me, or an alt comedian with like more notoriety or whatever. And it's like, that sucks. That fucking sucks. Like, that is not good. It's like, I don't want to be treated like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess like maybe you would be able to like put those emotions aside more.
I think dating apps and I think what you're getting at is like it's the problem of dating apps in general. Like
it's the I don't know. I think this is a particular
the dating app is it's gamified to begin with. Like you're saying people are matching with you because they're seeing you as an object that they can match with and say that's
well,
cool
okay.
I match with you. That's
yeah.
what everyone does with everyone on dating apps.
Okay.
Is you match with the hot girl.
Yeah.
And you say look at this hot girl I matched with and maybe you never message her.
I guess so. But I guess what I'm saying is it's not that like I think it's okay to be a fan of someone's work. And that's one of the reasons you would like to like go out with them. But if it's
yeah.
like just to match and be like, hey, you know, it's like, I don't know. I'm just saying it doesn't make me feel great. But it's not, I'm also saying it's not the end of the world. I don't think that it's like a horrible thing to do. I'm just saying, like, if you want to know how it makes this particular person feel in that situation,
yeah,
it's like so-so to not awesome. Like, it's not, doesn't ruin my day, but I'm like, oh, okay. You know, yeah. Especially when it's like someone who I'm like, oh, I'm glad I matched with this person. They're cute and they seem like cool.
Hmm. Do you feel that way? Would you feel that way if a hot girl came up to you in a bar and you got, and then was like, are you Grace Freud? I'm a fan.
How hot? But like, I think it's, but that's different. Like, if someone's flirting with me, I'm saying that, like, on an app.
No, I'm saying she's not. Oh. I'm saying she's not flirting with you.
That's fine. But you're. But that's.
But you're at a bar.
But that's.
But you're at a bar.
I think it's different. I think, like, a dating app, it's like a different context, in my opinion. Just in public, like, whatever. Like, or like, that's nice. That's like being a regular person to me. It's it's not being like normal and thoughtful to me to like match with someone and be like, ah, I'm a fan. Bye bye. I don't know. It's just like, that's weird. That's like, it's like you're, it's okay. Yeah, you're right. Dating apps are gamified, and it's like they're using matching with me as an achievement. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like they upped their gamer score.
Yeah. I've only ever gone out from a dating app with one person who mentioned knowing me in advance of that. And she did break up with me or call it off because she was older and felt that it was wrong.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but that's kind of unrelated to knowing who I was in advance of matching with me.
Wait, Camille just broke up with
you?
But
I thought that was funny. Yeah.
I'm so sorry. I'm single now. Wow. So you're going to have to deal with this soon, too.
Yep.
Okay, but this is so, but what I actually wanted to talk about, it really doesn't have anything to do with what we just said.
Okay, wait, yeah. This all started because before we started recording, you said, I have to tell you something really funny that just happened 10 minutes ago. And so far, you've talked about secrets of NIM and how you don't like it when people match with you on dating apps because they're a fan.
Well, if they're a fan and they want to, like, if, like it's like, you know, it's...
Dating apps are the only third spaces we have left, Grace. Okay? Dating apps are public internet spaces, and I feel like you're trying to take that away from people. Okay?
That's so fair.
For many queer Americans, it's the only safe space we have left because they serve alcohol in every bookstore, every library, and every coffee shop now. So for queer, sober Americans, there's no third spaces left, okay? We have to go on dating apps to meet up with people.
That is so true. And what I'm basically saying, I'm doing net neutrality. I'm saying you should be throttled if you want to just message me to say you like the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, so this is what happened. And I really don't want anyone who's done this to feel bad. I'm just telling you what my feelings are. But somebody messaged me, a very sweet person, but who I do think just kind of matched with me due to... They were like, I'm kind of a fan. Like, I don't listen to the podcast anymore, but I did for a bit.
What? Okay, now I'm offended. What the hell?
And this was after, so the context...
Wait, yeah, never mind. You're right to be offended. That's a rude message, actually.
The context of this was... I was like, hey, what's up? They were like, hi, Grace. Whenever someone says my name instead of like, hey, babe, or something, I know they know me. That is like a big, like they are a fan or something.
Because you know who else says your name? Your friends, your mom, your teachers.
It is very familiar. It is very familiar.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So I asked them what they were up to. And I said that I know their bio said they were in fun date mode, but I was kind of in more hookup mode, and it's cool if they're not, but I was just telling them that that's kind of like why I was on the app at the moment. Because I don't really want to be in a relationship or whatever right now. But
right, you're looking to fuck and move on.
Well, I'm.
You're looking to fuck bitches and leave them behind.
I think it's
your words.
I think it's totally fair to be clear and be like, hey, I am just looking for a hookup. I'm on field. I think it's
that's actually important context too. What app are we doing this on?
I'm on field, you know?
You're just looking to hook up with an ethically non-monogamous 40-something straight couple. Okay? That's why I got on field in the first place.
So they say that they...
I didn't get on field so that people in their 20s could message me nice things. I got on field to be sexually harassed by ex-burlesque dancers. Okay? That's why I'm here, and I'm out of
I love to be sexually harassed by ex-burlesque dancers. It's the one thing that gets me hard anymore, April. And I've shared that with you in confidence.
So this person messaged you on field. Field app.
Yeah, and they're like, they have mono, so they can't hook up right now.
That's so fucking funny. Sorry. Oh, also, that's important context. This person is in high school.
No. They're 2 years. Can adults
even get
me.
Mono? Is it like chicken pox?
No, it's not. You can get mono as an adult.
Hmm.
And then they told me that their sisters.
And how does it work? Mono's kind of like the chicken pox to the AIDS shingles.
You gotta kind of ask, like, did it start?
Mono's
with
like,
did it get among adults through a pedophile?
Like, right.
Who then kissed someone else? Who then kissed someone
else? If you're an adult and you get mono, go back through the history books because somewhere down the line, someone you are kind of like distant Eskimo cousins with probably fucked a kid.
Almost certainly.
Yeah.
Which is sad. But then they tell me, and this is like what really sealed the deal to me, that like, oh, they just matched with me to say hi because at some point they were a fan of some Girl God thing. They go, just so you know, my sister's name is Grace, so that's probably a deal breaker on the hookup front. Which, like, then
why? Why? Because they'd get too turned on? Why? Because it'd be too hot?
And I said I would still be... They seemed cool. I said I'd still be down to hang, and that's all good. I'm not, like, I'm not against, like, meeting people on dating apps and you just, like, hang out or whatever. But I guess, like, I guess I was just saying, like, specifically, like, the, like, just because you're a fan and just because, like, you know, I don't want to be, like, a check mark. I guess. That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. But
sure.
But and I don't think this person treated me exactly like that. And I think that they're a very nice person. And I'm using they pronouns just to be extra anonymous.
Wait, you don't think they're a very nice person?
No, they are. They are.
Oh, you do think they're a very nice person.
So then, and then they say that they listen to the they don't listen to the podcast anymore, but did for a bit.
Yeah, maybe you could have asked them about that.
I did. I said...
So what happened?
Said,
so what went wrong? Was it
I
me?
Said, why?
Is it because I look weird?
I said,
is it because I look weird?
April, my darling.
Is it because I'm funny looking?
It's beyond, it's way beyond any of that.
Fuck.
I said, why? Haha, why'd you stop? And they said, they had a New Year's resolution to be cuntier and felt that the podcast wasn't helping.
To be cuntier?
So then I asked them.
Meaning what? Like more of an asshole?
I clarified. I said, are you saying listening to the pod made you feel like a loser? And they said, no. Then they said, I wanted to get back on the T-girl grind set mentality and went on a podcast purge. So then I asked...
Sorry, but what is that?
I think it means like they wanted to focus on passing, essentially. That's what I asked. I said,
listening to our podcast was stopping this person from passing?
I asked, so you kind of stopped listening to pass more in your head. Is that right? And they said, that's not far off. This is it's a trans girl.
Oh my God. Well, Grace, honestly, it sounds like you dodged a bullet anyways.
It's just very funny to me.
Grace, it sounds like being somewhat famous within certain circles has helped you dodge bullets, actually, and you should be grateful.
It's just so funny that someone stopped listening to our podcast to
and we can talk better. Freely because we can talk freely because we know this person isn't listening.
Well, it's just, I don't think that she should feel bad. It's just like really funny to me that, like,
what does that even mean?
I think it means like maybe like we were kind of destroying the idea of what she was in her own head with our jokes. I don't know. Like, we were like dismantling the image of who she is as a trans woman with what we say on the pod. It's just like, I don't necessarily know what it means either. She said she stopped listening to Chapo as well because it didn't feel like something a trans girl would do.
So she's calling us men. So she stopped listening to the podcast because she thinks I'm a man. Great.
I think
0 stars. I think April is a man. Yeah. Great.
I think
another satisfied customer.
It's kind of hard to read it in a different light. Yeah. I mean, I think that you know, maybe we should take this with pride. That, like, we so represent a different idea of what a trans woman is that some trans women are too much of a TERF themselves to listen to us. I don't know if that...
Well, this is certainly a much more... this is certainly more interesting criticism than the one that I kind of worry most people hold in their head, which is just that the show was bad.
Yeah, I mean, that one, it's like kind of whatever. Like, sometimes it's really good and sometimes it's bad, and that's fine. It's a podcast, yeah. You know?
That's the nature of podcasting and also the nature of my life. I'm never going to produce anything I'm proud of. And if you're expecting me to,
well,
get off the pot, okay?
I would say, except for like hour-long live stand-up shows that some people sometimes like to come see. But when it comes to like something marketable, yeah, probably not. But yeah, I mean, it's like, it's interesting to compare us to the beautiful Chapo Boys to that degree. Because, like, the fans of Chapo don't like our pot. Like, they don't like us, necessarily. Not all of them, but, like...
Well, some of them do. I'm curious what this girl actually does. Can we message her right now?
Yeah.
Can we shoot her a message? Can you ask her what she does listen to?
Do you listen to any pods currently?
Also, will you tell her April is asking if it's also, is it because she looks weird?
I mean, if she looks weird and that's a reason you stopped listening.
And tell her we're probably going to talk about this on the show, but no need to listen.
Yeah, I mean,
have to tell her that.
She's been responding pretty quickly, that's nice.
Wait, so this happened like 10 minutes before we started recording the episode?
Yeah.
Cool. Wait, can I see her?
I won't
comment. I will not make any comment on the air. I will look at her. I will look at the image of her.
I think
that, and I will not make any comment.
I think that is, I'm going to say, no, you cannot look at it.
She showed me. Grace showed
me.
I did not.
I have a Zoom recording proving that I didn't. But she's very beautiful.
Okay.
She is very beautiful, I think.
Interesting.
She's
interesting.
She is very cute.
So at its core, what you're complaining about is that a beautiful woman matched with you not because she wanted to have sex with you, but because she was a fan of your work formerly.
Well, no, I'm just saying, if the intent is just to say you're a fan, maybe the dating app is not the place to do that. Maybe a good place to do that is after a show or something. That's all I'm saying.
What if it's both? Did she clarify, I don't want to fuck?
I don't need to explicitly, I think that I think that
it'd be
was
cool
the vibe.
If you guys did fall in love.
I think the vibe.
What
was
if
just,
you fell in love?
I don't think that's going to happen. I think.
Wait, you should actually ask her out now. No, I actually changed my mind. I think you should ask her out. You should say, "Want to hang out tonight?" Oh, I forgot. You have her sister's name, so it's a deal breaker already.
See, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's like I'm not like okay. I'm saying that like in a space that is like you like this is like an app you go on
for right.
it, like just to respect the context of the space, you know,
right.
like
in a space that's meant for fucking you should be fucking.
No, that's I'm not saying you have to fuck everyone
so get
you match.
Out of the locker room.
I'm not saying you have
okay
to fuck everyone you match. I'm at all I'm just saying that like
It's in the terms and conditions.
Well, then I'm in trouble.
Field has updated their terms and conditions. You have to fuck every person you match with now.
Oh my God, they're all at my door. They're trying to get in. They're breaking the windows.
The burlesque dancers.
The burlesque dancers.
Sorry, the ex-burlesque dancers.
I think a lot of them are active burlesque dancers, to tell you the truth.
That's true. The difference between burlesque and other forms of sexual dancing is that burlesque, you never age out of.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
That's what sets burlesque apart, is you cannot age out of burlesque.
That is so... You can't age out of it. You can't get too many tumors or skin conditions. You can just keep doing it.
Yeah. Yep. Are there male burlesque dancers?
I mean, the...
What would that even look
like? I'm sure there are. I don't think I've ever seen a cis male burlesque dancer, but the God's honest truth is I've seen multiple trans male burlesque dancers. I don't know what that says, but...
I would love to see a cis guy burlesque dancer.
A straight cis... Male burlesque. What is the RuPaul of burlesque going to burst onto the scene?
Right.
And have, I don't know, like Mama Sydney's burlesque binge or something. Burl roll.
Yeah, keep trying. You want the floor? I think you can get there. I'll give you a few minutes if you want to take some more cracks at it.
I think burl roll is pretty good. Like barrel roll? But burl roll? What about burlesque is more?
What are you even pitching a name for? I don't understand.
I'm pitching a name.
What is it even supposed to be? What are you... You just started saying words.
I'm pitching a name for a RuPaul's Drag Race-esque burlesque show.
None of those make any sense, the things you said. Thinking back through the things you said.
What about burlesque league? What about burlesque-a-thon? Like decathlon? Burlesque-a-thon? What?
What? Yeah, I think this probably has legs. I think probably this could be the hour.
Yeah.
I think this could probably be the next hour we tour. Probably it should be this.
Mama Sydney's House of
Why is it Sydney? Why is it Mama Sydney?
It's a character. You need a RuPaul type character. So it would have to be like probably someone who wasn't already famous, because I can't name one famous burlesque dancer.
Yeah, can you name one famous burlesque dancer?
I don't think so. There's a low ceiling for that profession.
Yeah.
There's kind of really what you get a show at like a gay bar that mostly straight people go to now, and that's the ceiling, and then there's nowhere to go but down.
I mean, I think the highest thing you can achieve as a burlesque dancer is probably owning a feminist bookstore.
Okay, wait,
Oh, we got an answer?
Yeah.
What is it? Did she say I look weird?
Well, first she said, you're both beautiful, and you played chess. Oh my god! She played chess with April on stream once. So she was a patron, but she's no longer a patron. And that kept her listening for about a month extra.
Huh.
But then she says what she currently listens to is TrueAnon, Empire Files, and Seeking Derangements.
Wow. That is so interesting.
Seeking Derangements. So
that's what she thinks girls listen to.
But not us is devastating, is what I'm going to say.
Well, Seeking Derangements is like 66% gay guys. Right?
Yes. We're
actually 0% gay guys, and women love gay guys.
Women love gay guys.
So I can't even be offended by that, because the math actually makes perfect sense to me. They got gay guys, and we don't have any gay guys.
Yeah.
So
should we get, like, if we drafted a third host that was a gay guy, who would we draft? Like, if you could have any gay guy.
I mean, probably my ideal third host, if it had to be a gay guy, I don't know, maybe Ryan Murphy.
Ryan Murphy is pretty perfect.
That'd be cool. That'd be good. I think that'd be a good third mic. I don't want to introduce a third mic who's not, like, bringing a lot to the table, right?
Yeah.
It needs to be someone who's already kind of got their own thing going.
Yeah.
So I would totally, if Ryan wanted to be the third mic, I would totally let Ryan do that.
I think Ryan Murphy would be awesome. I think older gay guy is the right area to play in. I'm trying to think of, like, other older gay guys if we couldn't get Ryan. We could probably get
Nathan Lane.
Oh, Nathan Lane would be great.
We could probably get Nathan Lane to be the third mic.
We could also get, like, some random gay. Like, we could get, like, honestly, like, some gay guy who knew everybody back in the day. Like, but does it now. We could get, like, oh, you know who would be really great? That one senator guy who's, like, in the closet, but everyone knows he's gay.
Nancy Pelosi.
Nancy Pelosi, yeah.
Nancy Pelosi. Closeted homosexual Nancy Pelosi.
Is it Lindsey Graham?
I think so.
Yeah, that would be great.
Michael Pence?
Mike Pence would be awesome. Mike Pence would be perfect.
I wish that Mike Pence had gotten to be president, because I was actually up for running the kind of United States Department of Conversion Therapy.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, and it's a bummer that, unfortunately, because Mike never got his due, I will never get to put my various plans into motion.
Like what?
And that's fine.
Like what? That's okay. What were you going to do? What were your plans?
Well, you know, I mean, I was... here's the situation with here's the state of conversion therapy in this country. It is massively underfunded, right? Like most social programs, you know, conversion therapy is massively, massively
That's
underfunded.
Why kids are always knocking on your door like, hey, I'm selling popcorn, I'm selling wreaths to fund my conversion therapy so I don't have to be gay anymore.
I mean, back in the day, we used to have asylums, right, where we would send our gay kids. And then they got rid of those, and it was framed as a good thing, right? It was like, oh, instead of the asylum, we're going to offer like therapy to these children. But then, of course, the conversion therapy programs that followed were massively underfunded, and so now we just have struggling gay kids, you know, all over the country.
People act like the asylums were bad. They were allowed to be gay in there. It was basically like the final scene in Paddington 2 where Hugh Grant puts on that musical inside of the prison. It was that, but every day at the asylums, you know? They were constantly doing Chorus Line and Les Mis and this and that. And they were having a blast. And they were fucking. They were fucking. But in the reasonable confines of an asylum's grounds. So conversion therapy was like, okay, we're not going to have these asylums anymore. We're going to get them in.
We're going to offer state-funded therapy to help these kids deal with their urges so they can, instead of living in an asylum, become productive members of society. But then, of course,
the funding wasn't there. The funding was not there.
Our failing government did not deliver. And so now we just have all these gay teens who should be locked up roaming the streets.
Well, the truth is, that's why you have so many bi kids now. Because we only have enough funding to do it halfway. To do conversion therapy halfway.
Right. I mean, bi is like mono. You know, it was never supposed to be in adults. It was supposed to only be in kids.
Yeah,
and then it was supposed to be treated. Right? But now there's all these adults that are bisexual. It doesn't make any sense.
Do you have any creative ideas to stretch the funding that exists? Like ways to convert people, make people straight, like en masse?
Yeah, well, so here's what I was going to do. You know, if Michael became, you know, had a chance to be president and I got to assume my role as head of the USDC, the U.S. Department of Conversion Therapy, you know, first things first, I was going to slash the United States military budget by four, you know, quarter it.
But, right? Oh, wait, what? Slash it by four does not mean quarter it.
I guess that actually means slash it by, three. I was going to slash it by three.
What do you mean slash it by three?
Well, because it's like it takes three cuts to cut something into four pieces.
What?
No, it actually takes two cuts to cut a cake into four
pieces.
If
it's a cake, yeah.
Right?
But
yeah. You can cut once down the middle and then once down the side. I was kind of thinking if none of the cuts intersect, it takes three cuts to create four pieces. But if the cuts can intersect, it takes two cuts.
April.
Right? Like on a cake.
Yeah, but nobody puts it like that.
So I was going to...
You could say, cut it down by 75%.
I was going to slash the United States military budget by 75%.
Yes. Yeah, that's how you say it. Slash it by four? For what? For what? I think you need to go back to college. I don't think
and
you
then
should
I
have
was,
taken it
and
somewhere.
Then I was, and then I was going to use that budget.
Okay. So you were going to use 75% of the current military's budget.
Yes. The American people, you know, are always saying, you know, oh, it's a shame that we can't fund these conversion therapy programs, but there's just not enough funding to go around, right?
Yeah.
That's actually a lie, okay? That's actually a lie. We have all the money we need to fix this country and to help support our gay teens and make them productive childbearing members of society in the future, right? We actually have the money.
But wait, why do you need 75% of the budget. Like, what are you? What were you going to use that for?
Because 75% of the United States military budget actually goes toward treating and dealing with, you know, the problems caused by gay adults in the United States military.
What,
but if we use, what do you, if we use,
what problems?
So here's what I'm saying: if we get rid of if we use 75% of the U.S. military budget to fund conversion therapy programs that treat gay kids and teens, there won't be any gay adults in the military anymore. Because so they won't need that 75% of the budget. It's like playing whack-a-mole.
But could you use less of that budget to do, like, what are you going to be using that money for?
The United States military is massively overfunded, right?
Sure.
Because most of that we both agree it's massively overfunded, because most of that funding goes toward wrangling the rampant homosexuality in the military.
What do you mean by wrangling, though? Like, what?
Wrangling them. You know?
You mean, like, imprisoning them? Or
Keeping them out of the clubs.
keeping them out of the clubs.
You know,
keeping them from, like, listening to Rihanna when they should be shooting someone?
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Uh-huh. So that's what a lot of the budget goes toward is hiring people, you know, to wrangle the homosexual military members.
Okay. So what would you use that money for? Like, what, like, so conversion therapy doesn't usually work, right? Like, it,
well, okay, Grace, I mean, I just want to break down for you how silly what you're saying is.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, when you say conversion therapy doesn't actually work, right? That's like if you shattered. Let's say you own a beautiful vase. You have a beautiful vase in your apartment.
Okay,
it knocks over. It shatters all over the floor.
Okay,
your friend says, "Oh, that's okay. We can just glue it back together." You say, glue doesn't actually work, though, right? And all you have in your closet is Elmer's glue, right?
Okay. So
of course it doesn't work, because all you've ever had is cheap, shitty glue.
Can I take a moment to...
But if you used 75% of the United States defense budget to glue back together that face, I think we could get that face back together.
Okay, yeah, but that's different than making sure there are no more gay people in America.
So when you say conversion therapy doesn't actually work, what you're really saying is that free conversion therapy, you know, conversion therapy as it currently stands, underfunded, under-researched, underdeveloped conversion therapy doesn't actually work.
Okay.
Of fucking course it doesn't. Right.
Okay.
Why would it?
So what?
Right.
What would be different about yours?
Do you know what the United States government's current conversion therapy budget is? I'll tell you.
No, I don't.
I mean, this number might blow your mind.
Okay.
Okay. Zero. $0. The United States currently doesn't spend any money on conversion therapy.
Well, the federal government doesn't. Individual people do. Like, sometimes they spend a lot of money. Like, what would the government's conversion therapy be? How can you pitch me this effective conversion therapy that you supposedly know how to bring about if only you had enough money to do it?
Yeah.
How does it work? So I come to convert. This is my first day of, let's role play. This is my first day of conversion therapy. Hi,
right.
I'm gay.
And where are we?
I'm Grace.
Where are we?
I'm, what do you mean, where are we?
Where would the conversion therapy take place, April? I feel like you're imagining this happening at some sort of conversion therapy center.
Yes.
So, no.
Is that not how it would work?
No. No. Absolutely not. Okay. First things first, conversion therapy would happen. It would happen in the home, and it would happen in the pod.
What pod?
Okay.
What
every
pod?
Home would have an in every home would have an in-unit pod, and that would be where conversion therapy happens. Okay.
Okay.
You would go in the pod.
I would go in the pod.
Mm-hmm. And there would be it's a complex device that connects to your brain with a series of nodes and modules and whatnot.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes. I mean, I can picture it.
So let's start the role play over again. It's your first day of using the pod.
Wait, I have to use it for multiple days? Like, how long do I have to use it?
Yes. I mean, at first you'll have to use it every day, but, you know, long term as an adult, hopefully you can, you know, use it like once a month. It'll be like shaving your legs, you know? You don't need to do it every day.
Wait,
it's just an upkeep thing.
So this is something that like is going to have to be used for the rest of my life.
Well, yeah, right.
No, not yeah, right. I don't.
Grace, why do you think current conversion therapy fails? Okay.
I mean, because why do I think? Because people are just gay or not. You can't change someone.
Okay. No, but for real though, why do you really think it fails?
Because people are just gay or not. You can't change someone from being gay.
But you would say that,
sister,
it's the circumstances of your life that lead you to being gay.
I don't know.
Right?
I'm not really interested in that.
You think people are born gay?
I think people are...
No, people aren't born anything. We're all born naked and the rest is drag. Okay?
I think...
People aren't born anything.
I think people have souls that have contours that writhe and dance and fuse with the contours of the life they are... given.
We're
which is
born
different.
Naked, so to speak, and the rest is drag, so to speak.
So you're into drag?
It's the experience of your life that dresses you in the clothes you wear, so to speak, figuratively speaking.
And the clothes some of the clothes determine whether or not you want to suck dick or not?
Well, the job of the pod is to help you change your figurative outfit.
The pod sounds pretty gay, bro.
This is I firmly believe in it. It's a deconstructive conversion.
So
a deconstructive approach to conversion
makes
therapy.
Makes you naked?
No, it changes your outfit into a straight outfit, but, like slacks and a button down.
Does it literally do that? Are you saying that like if I went into the pod with in a dress... Or, you know, wearing, like, women's pants or a blouse or something. Are you saying that I would leave... All the pod would do is put me in, like, khakis and a flannel?
No, that's one of thousands of things the pod would do.
Okay, so, yeah, let's get back to the role play of it.
So it's day one of you using the pod.
Is there any questionnaire before I enter the pod or anything?
No.
Okay. Day one, I'm in the pod. How old am I?
Let's see. Let's say you're 7.
Okay, I'm 7. Okay, so I'm 7. When I was 7, I didn't know that I was gay or trans. I mean, actually, that's a lie. I did want to be a girl, but I don't think I'd expressed that to anyone.
Hmm. but the
Well,
pod
maybe
would
my
know.
Mom. I think I told
the
my mom.
Pod knows.
So wait, are you saying that every kid, when they're quite young, when they're in early elementary school, will be issued a pod that they have to go into every day for a while?
Do you know how much money 75% of the United States defense budget is?
Trillions, because I yeah, feel or like I've, many, many billions.
I feel that sentence that you just said to me, that rude sentence, I feel like the undertone there was, that's ridiculous. You could never afford that.
Well, I don't think, you seem very focused on the budget. I'm more focused on, like, the efficacy of this. Like,
because my department would have easily been able to afford to put a pod in every home in America.
I actually don't know if you would be able to do that, even with that amount of money. How much money does it cost to create one of these high-tech pods?
About 74 cents.
That's not true. That cannot be. What else does the pod do, April?
We have a factory. We have a factory in Southeast Asia that can pump these pods out for 74 cents a pod.
Okay. What are is there a screen?
It's extremely affordable.
What else?
With 75% of the US defense budget in my pocket, we would be able to pay for all of those pods and I would get to pocket the rest.
What? You would not get to pocket the rest. That's not how it works, April.
As a thank you for accomplishing so much, yeah, I would get to pocket the rest.
No, you would go to jail if you did that. They would.
Oh, there wouldn't be jails anymore.
Well, okay, so you're saying that this would, you would abolish.
Do you know how much homosexual activity happens in jails?
So you're saying that you are a prison abolitionist, but simply because of how much gay sex happens in them, and that apparently your pods wouldn't be able to solve that?
Well, yes, absolutely, Grace. Because when are people going to commit crimes if they're in the pods?
But they're not going to be in the pods constantly.
Well, not if they behave.
Who's going to force them to go into the pod?
No one's going to be forced to do anything, Grace.
Okay, but you said if they don't behave, they have to go into the pod. Why would they willingly go into the pod if it was a punishment?
Just trust me, you're going to want to go into the pod.
Why? Why are you okay? going to want to go into the pod?
You're going to like the pod.
What? Okay. Okay, so let's
It's comfortable in there. They got snacks.
Who? It can just generate snacks forever?
Well, yeah.
It doesn't have like a finite supply of snacks? That sounds like it would be exhausted quite quickly?
No.
Okay, so let's...
They also got they got TV in there.
Okay, so let's go back to the role play. I'm in the pod. What happens?
They got TV in there.
Okay. But what happens first when I'm in the pod?
Well, you're probably going to have a snack.
What?
I don't fucking know. Whatever you want.
You're saying that the first part of conversion therapy in this pod is I can simply say whatever snack I want. And this pod that costs 74 cents will produce it for me?
I don't know how you expect people to do such deep transformative work on an empty stomach.
It's not... is it a matter creator? Like, can it... Like, if you have this... I don't think you have this technology.
We have this technology.
Okay. All right. So, I get Teddy Grahams or something... And then what happens?
Then you probably watch some TV.
Okay. What? Does it have Netflix?
No, it has only Three's Company.
It only has, okay, that is a little bit on point, you know, but, and that's about right. A straight man pretending to be gay.
Yeah, it's a metaphor.
It's not a metaphor.
Yeah, it is.
It's not a metaphor.
Yeah,
okay,
it's a metaphor.
So I've watched three episodes of Three's Company.
You're right, you know, it is a little bit on the nose that the only thing you can watch in the pod is Three's Company, right? But, you know, you have to understand, and I'll say this to you, I wouldn't say this on the off the record, it's the only show we could afford.
Oh, wow. That's kind of an expensive, you know, show, honestly, probably.
No, it wasn't really that expensive. It's just like, you know, every dollar that we spend on TV for the pod, you know, comes out of my pocket, essentially.
Why? You said that you had so much money that you would, oh, because you get to pocket everything that's left.
Yeah, off the record, yeah.
All right. Well, okay, so I've watched a few episodes.
Okay, so back to the role play. You've watched a few episodes of Three's Company.
What happens next?
Use your imagination, Grace.
What do you think happens next? Did you tell me what happens?
What do you think happens next?
What does it do to make me straight, April?
Now you're asking the right questions.
That's what I was asking when I asked what happens next.
Okay. This reminds me of the conversation I had with Michael when I first pitched him this idea.
Okay. Why do you call him Michael?
It's his Christian name.
Okay. But what does it... Okay, now you're just silent. What does it do to make... to convert someone to being heterosexual?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah! Yes! What does it do? Tell me anything that it does. I mean, I guess the clothes thing, but like besides that, besides the literal new outfit, what does it do, April?
Well, let me ask you this, Grace. In this role play, are you currently having homosexual sex?
How? I'm in the pod.
That's what I'm saying.
So you're saying that, like, because the pod only has room for one person, I won't be gay in it because I can't act. What if I'm having gay thoughts in it?
Oh, you won't be.
Why not?
Why do you think, Grace?
You're a scam artist. You don't care about making people straight at all. I don't think you have any technology besides plastic eggs that people sit in and watch Three's Company and seemingly maybe there's a snack. I don't really believe you about the snack, though, to tell you the truth.
There are snacks in there.
Are there snacks forever?
Mm-hmm. They got snacks forever. That's another technology we invented with our budget.
But you haven't invented it yet because you don't have the budget yet. You're saying we're going to invent it.
We're gonna.
If you could create, okay. I'm starting to think. I mean, I don't think very highly of Mike Pence, but I think even he would not. Like, be down with this. Like, it just...
He loved the pod.
I don't think you've met him.
He went in the pod and he loved the pod, especially the episode of Three's Company that was playing.
Which episode was it? Which episode was it, April?
Give me the basic plot. I don't remember.
Yes, you obviously do, because you said he especially liked it, so you must remember the episode. Give me the...
No, I don't.
April, give me the basic plot of the episode.
Nope.
I don't think you've ever met Mike Pence in your entire life. Or if you have, I think you've done something to him.
I've done nothing to him.
Is he still in the pod?
Hmm?
Has he if he did get into a pod, one of your prototype pods, is he still in the pod?
Oh. Well, no. No. No, he's not. No, he got out. He got out of the pod.
You paused for a moment.
That's how the pod works, Grace.
The pod did not pause.
That's how you get in. That's how it works. You get in.
Okay.
And you get out.
How long was he in the pod?
As long as he needed to be.
Did he get out of the pod of his own volition, or did you have to take him out of the pod?
Nobody wants to leave the pod, Chris.
So essentially what you're saying is Three's Company is such a good TV show that people do not want to stop watching it no matter what.
And we're gonna invent infinite snacks.
That's a... Well, you're a very smart little girl.
Thank you.
Well, this has been a really disturbing episode of the Girl Caught Experience. If you want extra episodes weekly, you can check out patreon.com/girlgod. We put those up on Thursdays. And we're going to be in Portland on May 2nd at Crystal Ballroom for Landspang Presents A Bunch of Shit. It's us and our friend Ruby Setnick and Natalie Palomides and Steve Agee or Aggie. And some other folks too.
It's going to be great. And also, equally as important, exactly as important is... our annual Pride show, Gay Aid, that's taking place on June 1 in New York,
June 1st,
at the Bell House
in New York, at the Bell House. We're gonna announce guests soon, and then we're gonna be announcing another Pride show very soon in LA too. Thank you all so much. Bye bye.